sang that song, I thought about when I thought about a tent revival. As you sang that song, I just said, God said to me, you need to get out in that land and throw a tent up and have a revival. Amen. Thank you for singing that song. Amen. That's an old time song, buddy. I'm going to let the Lord tell me when. I think we ought to have a tent revival before this year ends, before the summer ends. Amen. Maybe a bunch of us take a night and just let it fly. Get some sawdust and the old time tent revival out there in that land. Why should God do anything? We ought to be preaching out there in that land. Amen. Don't need a building. We got, if push came to shove, we got a pavilion. But I'd like to throw a tent up by that flagpole. And just let it fly for about a week. Amen. Just let it fly for about a week. Have a bunch of singing every night. And just have us a Baptist-caustic fit. I mean, just let it fly, Mike. I mean, let the Lord have it all. Amen? Amen. Let's be praying about a date. I know Brother Ballard's talked about a tent out there. I think, as you sang that song, I know God spoke to me. He said, you need to be on that land doing a tent revival. Yeah. And I believe we need to do it this year. Don't ask me where we're going to figure it out at, because I've got about every month. I'll have to figure something out. There's got to be a week in there somewhere. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Mark, that's a blessing. I had a big old hillbilly boy used to sing that for me in Toledo all the time, named Brother Hicks. He's in heaven now. He's just a big old lumbering boy, about 6'4", and boy, he just let that fly, those Kentucky boy, and he just let it fly. Man, that's a great, what a great song. Five rows back. When he sings the song, do you listen to the words? What a tremendous message. From every time I hear it, I get stirred. You sang it. I asked Brother Mark. He sang it before for me, too. Thank you, Brother Mark. You sang that a couple times for me. And I went to him. I said, Mark, I want you to learn this song. It's a great old time. How many? Yes, ma'am. Wow. Amen. It's just a tremendous song. And by the way, there was three or four first-time visitors here today. There was three or four. I know the one lady just raised her hand, but there was other visitors here, trust me. And we're just going to keep on going. We keep on. That's so, five rows back, and you came forward and got saved. Isn't that exciting? The most greatest thing in the world is people getting saved. And turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to try to finish this message. I'm glad Lou Griffey's here tonight. She's feeling better. We missed her. She wasn't feeling good. I just found out something this morning, too. Did you know that Brother Bob and Carl went in first grade together? Bob Bevington and Carl McDaniel went to first grade together. Neither one of them passed, but they both went together, you know. Billy, we're going to pray about that tent revival here. Man, that's about all I can get in my mind right now is that tent revival. I wish I could get that out of my mind so I could preach. Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. I'm just gonna conclude a message that I started. What makes a church great? What makes a church great? Part two. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. By the way, Norma Miner is gonna join our church, and she's all in favor of Norma joining our church. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, she's a member right now.
Amen.
Norma, you're a member right now. And next Sunday, I'm going to have you come up from all the people. We're going to have everyone shake your hand. when all the Sunday morning people, amen? But you can tell Norma, 90 years old, and got baptized, saved. Did you get to see that, brother? You was in Super Church, weren't you? That's phenomenal. I'm so proud of her. That's an act of faith. And I'll tell you, that made my whole day. And look at Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. By the way, God, all the apostles are dead, but God can still do miracles through us. God's still in the miracle business. Oh, we don't do the same things the apostle did, but God still is God. He can put a church out there and pay it, and have it paid in full. He can do that. And I'm glad the Record Courier, they put in the whole thing. They actually recorded everything that we wrote about how we believe God's going to do that. And the whole city of Ravenna read that this week. Amen? And verse 4, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Thank you for I feel just a warm spirit. Thank you for the warm spirit of God. It's the people coming with hearts that just want to hear from you and, Lord, want to serve you. Thank you for the giving hearts. People give of themselves, give of their money to help, and give of their talents. Thank you, Father, for all the people here that just do so many different things in this church. Pray for all our sick. Pray especially for Brother Coolidge. I didn't know he was sick this afternoon. Lord, please touch Brother Coolidge and make him healthy again. And again, I pray for Mary and all those that, Father, at home, Diane and Nancy. And we pray for Ann DeLone, for her and the babies. And bless all our people. There's many others, Lord, I might not know right now, but dear God, or maybe just not, can't bring to my mind. Lord, just bless all our people. And bless our country. And thank you for our soldiers. God, bless each one of them. And help America to look to you. And help our leaders to stand with Israel. Oh, God, please help our president and all those in leadership of our country. Help them to stand with Israel. Help them not to turn their back on Israel. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning I started a message. I said, what's great? What makes a church great? I said, number one, a great church must have the right founder. And Jesus was the founder of the local church. I said, number two, what makes a great church? A great church will have the power of God. It must have the power of God upon that church. And the Spirit of God must be evident inside. And number three, I said, a great church will have witness and power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we as born-again believers, we need to be excited about a risen Savior. Over and over, the Bible says, and they witnessed of his resurrection. They witnessed his resurrection. They spoke of his resurrection. They died because they did not recount his resurrection. Many of them were martyred because they would not say, we deny it. No, they said, no, he died, he arose, we saw him with our eyes. We saw it by many, Acts 1:3, by many infallible proofs. And so our Savior is real. He's alive. He's risen. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father. And real soon, he's going to be coming, returning for us. Amen? That's why we need to do all we can while we can. And number four, a great church will have great grace upon them. Look at Acts 4:33. Acts 4:33. Chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. How many see that? What makes us go? The grace of God. the grace of God. God's church is a product of one thing. God's church is a product of one thing. God's grace. Brother Jack, you and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's grace. Every one of us wouldn't be here for other than by God's grace. Amen? I mean, everything been given, you've been given by God. Think about it. Ephesians 2:8 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can anyone say amen? The great grace of God that rested upon the early church was the fullness of God in Christ and the Holy Spirit. Look, listen, their saving grace, their praying grace, their testifying grace, their loving grace, their giving grace, their dying grace, all came from God. By the way, did you know all our saving grace today, because he's not changed, comes from God? All our praying grace comes from God. All our testifying grace, Brother Mike, it's all God's done. Mike down there this morning praising, God, thank you for changing my life. God, thank you for working in my life. And by the way, every morning now at 7:30, if the men want to come, we're meeting here at 7:30 and praying. But all our love, listen, if there's any love in us, real love, it's because of God's grace. If we give, I know why you give. You don't give me, it's giving, you give me for the glory of God, for God's grace. We give because of the grace of God, what he's done for us. And I'm glad even when we go to die, God will give us dying grace. Amen? I noted this, you may exist as a Christian and ignore his great grace. But to live for him, you must daily experience his great grace. If you're going to live for him, you're going to experience his great grace. There's a song, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. How many have heard that song? I'm going to tell you, that's what keeps us going. I'm going to tell you, everything about us, it says God's grace. And great churches, Brother Mike, they'll see God's grace. See, I know why you taught in that school for so long and did such a great job and showed up every morning at no later than 7:25. And she got here at 7:30. I said, wow, she's 2 minutes off. One day she was 15 minutes. The school didn't even start at 8:30, but she got here at 7:45. And it was like, what happened to Ruthie? Because she was always here so early. I know why she retired, yet since she came out another 4 years, she worked. It was all because of God's grace. Preacher, if God can use me, if God's done so much, why you girls work so hard? I know why you do. Hey, how can we ever pay God back? We can't, can we? It's for all his grace that he's given to us that we do anything. Amen? And no one that really that's going to live for him, you'll experience his grace daily. Amen? The question is, are we experiencing God's grace daily? God wants us to experience his grace. Are we walking by faith, living by faith? Are we counting on God to be our sufficiency? Or are we trusting our own self to be our sufficiency? You know, grace says, I'll trust God to be my sufficiency. Amen? Then number 5, what makes a church great? Godly fear within the ship. I want you to read this. Look at Acts chapter 5. I promise I'll close by, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to close at 7 o'clock, Johnny. I know the people have had a long day, and a lot of you have been here since this morning. But look at Acts chapter 5, and look at verse 1 through, I'm going to read 1 through 11. If there's anything at great church you'll see, there's the fear of God. And can I say this to the deacons and myself and everyone here? No church will be great unless the pastor and the leadership of the church has the fear of God. The fear of God must be demonstrated with those who are in leadership, those who are in authority. Because if the fear of God is not demonstrated in the man of God and the men of God that are in office, then Brother Mike, the membership, they'll say, well, he don't care. Why should I? Amen? And so we as preachers and deacons and you that hold offices in this church, you need to understand that people watch you. And they need to see the character and the qualities of God in us. And they need to see that we have a fear for God and the things of God. Amen? Notice in verse 1. And you know the story. This is where Ananias and Sapphira, maybe I don't need to read it all, but you know the story where they sold a parcel of land and they said, we're going to give it the money to God. And then, boy, all of a sudden, they saw, you know, Penny's had a special going on and, you know, Sears had a riding lawnmower for sale and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know. I know that there wasn't Sears and Walmart back then. Whatever was going on back then, Brother Mark, something of the world distracted them. Something of them, Evangelist Black, I don't know what it was, but something made, they changed their, they let the flesh, they didn't yield to the Spirit, and they went with the flesh. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 3. But Peter said unto Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou convinced this thing in thine heart? Hast thou not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these things, fell down, gave up the ghost. In other words, he died right on the spot. Pow! God can still do that if he wants to today. And maybe once in a while, if he'd do it, maybe there'd be a great sweeping fear in the Baptist churches. And great fear came upon all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound them up, and carried them. They just round them up. Said, that's it. Threw them in a hole. That was his funeral right there. And buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after his wife, not knowing, was done, came in. Where was she? She was out shopping, Eddie. Probably the flea markets and the yard sales and stuff like that. I don't know, but she was gone somewhere. She hadn't talked to her husband. And Peter answered and said unto her, of course, it would have been hard to talk to him after because he was dead. And Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the fear of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and she shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And young men came in and found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Look at verse 11. That's what I want you to see. I'm talking about what makes churches great. One thing here, the fear of God makes churches great. And great fear. Great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things, there was fear. I mean, the whole church, man, they said, did you hear what Ananias and Sapphira? Man, they dropped dead right in church, man. Can you imagine the stories? Can you imagine what? They probably swallowed their coffee. What? You know, and can you imagine that going through that church back then, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you that story was told everywhere. They didn't have phones back then, but if they would, they would have been text messaging that real bad. And that would have been on YouTube and Twitter, tweet, and it would have been on the Face one. It would have been on all of them. There is a Face one in there. Okay. Facebook. So, Facebook, they're on. They're have been on everything. Amen? You can tell a preacher's not a young kid. You know what? That computer, it can't be that good. But I want you to get something here. There was great fear. And for a church to be godly, there must be fear. There must be a godly fear against sin. I'm afraid to say, there's a very little fear in churches, even fundamental churches today, of God. And you're in churches all, you get to preach all over. I guarantee you see it all the time. People don't really fear God no more. When sin is excused and tolerated, that sin is accepted as normal as with the ungodly world. And that's why when people come to a fundamental church, and I preach against living together without marriage and preach on homosexuality and preach on abortion and stuff like that, people say, oh my lands, they about have a heart attack because they never hear that. But that's sin. I preach on alcohol. Man, that guy, I'm never going back there. That guy preached against drinking. I'm not giving up my drinking for nobody. No, go ahead and keep on drinking. Go straight to hell. But it's wrong. I'm glad. I think I was talking to Brother Mike or Roddy or somebody today. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it might have been Brother Mark's and dropped alcohol for 30, 40 years. I there was a day in my life before I was saved. I made a statement. I can't believe anybody could live without drinking. I had a man say, I'm not going to drink the rest of my life. And I said, really? I can't imagine living without drinking. Because I was an alcoholic. Hello? Boy, it's amazing how sin will take us so far from God. Right. Then I got saved, Brother Bobby. You know what? I never did quit drinking. I just changed fountains. Amen? I still drink. I drink iced tea, iced water, chocolate milk, all kinds of stuff. Amen? Root beer once in a while down there at the A&W, orange juice, grape juice, tomato juice, or tomato juice, or how you want to call it. I haven't quit drinking. I changed fountains. Amen? But, you know, it's amazing how people just say, wow. You know, but the Bible says, and here's the thing. The church tolerates it. And then we're just like the world, Brother Bob. And you can't tell the church from the world. Years ago, when Carl and Mary was young, and Bobby and June and the younger ones, the older ones here, you could tell the difference between the church and the world. Right. Nowadays, the church looks like the world, acts like the world, talks like dresses like the world, puts all those stinking things in their ears and their nose and their belly. Like, boy, I hope none of my kids ever do that. Amen. Don't you put none of those things in your eyes and your eyelids and, you know, nose, and they got them up in their tongue. I've actually been places where people, they got them in their tongue. How do you swallow? Wow. And I just thought, that's got to be more than stupidity. That's beyond reason. That's demonic. While I'm at it, can I tell you something else, kids? Not do I want, don't ever want you to get those piercings. The Bible talks about piercings. And he doesn't want you to get tattoos either. Matter of fact, I'm working on a message now. I think I'm going to preach it real soon. Some of the things that God calls abominations. One I'm going to really get you on. It's over in the book of Proverbs. Some of you are going to choke when I tell you. Prayer. Now, prayer is wonderful, isn't it? But you know there's some prayers, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach on it tonight. Prayer is wonderful. But there's a certain kind of prayer from a certain kind of a person that's an abomination to God. And I can prove it in the scripture. A lot of people, they say, well, they walk in church and they act like they're holier than thou. Man, listen to me, I pray. Yeah, you come to church once a week or once a month or just, you know, whenever you think you can need a little touch of God. I'm going to tell you, those people might as well forget about praying. Unless it's on their knees saying, God, forgive me for being such a wicked, slothful sinner. Amen? I'll be preaching on that pretty soon. Not tonight, though. I just thought I'd give you a little headline. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:17, we are to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Ladies and gentlemen, how many want Bethel Baptist to be a great church? Amen. Then if we're going to be a great church, we've got to strive to be holy. By the way, every one of us sin. We sin. We're all sinners. I understand that. But we need to try to sin as less as we can. We need to try to walk as close to God as we can. And we need to shoot evil all the time as much as we can. It's how much we yield to the spirit or to the flesh. And whoever we yield to, that's who our master is. Jesus said in 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. A holy God doesn't want to tolerate sin. And sometimes God will just bring judgment and let some fear happen. And in this church, in that church back there in the book of Acts, he just killed those two people for lying to the Holy Ghost. And bam, they got, how many people think they, for next week, how many of you think that next week when they took the offering, everybody had their tithe in?
I would love to know what their offering was the next week, Eddie. Wow, Brother Bobby, man. Oh, they probably could have built a new building after that. That next offering, I bet you there are people who hadn't been in that church for weeks, months. They said, we're going to church next Sunday. God, here it is. I told you I'd give it to you. Probably went and got loans. Said, man, give me a loan, man. I got to give that to God. I'm going to get killed. There was a man in this church. He blessed my heart beyond measure. He vowed a thing unto God, and he said, preacher, I want to give this particular item to God for the church, for the building fund. And he tried to sell it. And he came to me and said, preacher, I'm not no Ananias. This is a while back. He said, I'm not no Ananias. I said, man, I ain't worried about it. Don't worry about it. If it didn't sell, it's not your fault. But he sold it not too long ago. And I remember he called me and said, I got the money. You want me to bring it over right now? You know what thrilled my heart about that man? He loved God so much, and he cared about God so much. He wanted to make sure that vow that he gave to God got right. He said, I'll be there. He said, preacher, I've got it all. I've got an envelope. I'm bringing it to God. I'm bringing it to God. I said, amen. But he was so sincere because his heart was connected to God. He said, God, I'm not lying. I told you if you sell it, I'm going to give it. It's yours, God. I guarantee you, that man had some fear for God. And he's a good, upright man. By the way, we ought to have a fear for God for things like that. Amen? And God blessed him. He got the exact money that he wanted to get out of it, and he gave it all to God. That's how God blesses. Amen? I noted this. We spend so much time trying to be happy that we don't know even how to be holy. We spend so much time trying to be happy, the average Christian don't know how to be holy. Because we're too caught up being trying to be happy, trying to please the flesh. Fun has raised us to lose our, has caused us to lose our fear for God. I just put this, and I'm going to go to the last one. Don't take sin lightly. There's a price to pay for fleshly deeds. Now, we're not going to turn to it, but if you're taking notes, here's one where in the Old Testament where God, remember Joshua, in the book of Joshua, remember chapter 6, they marched around Jericho and they took Jericho, and God said, don't take none of it. But there was a man named Achan. Remember Achan? And he took those Babylonish garments. How many remember that? And God said, don't touch none of that. And then they went to go take on this little city called Ai. And Ai whooped the fire out of them. And all the people came back and said, oh, Josh, they beat us up. We don't understand it. Joshua knew what happened. He got down and said, oh, see, you got to have men that in leadership that care about sin. I have to care about sin. Sometimes you think, well, this guy's a hard noser. I've got to be a hard noser sometimes. For the sake of our church, I've got to be a man of God and say, hey, no, we're going to seek after holiness. No matter what it costs us, we're going to go after holiness. And in chapter 7, Achan, Joshua, come on, tell us what's going on here, Achan. You're the one who's causing this, our whole. See, he took the whole group down, the whole tribe of Israel. And if you'll study it in Joshua 7, 20 and 21, Achan confessed his sin. And then in Joshua 7, 25 and 26, you know what happened to that guy? They took him out and stoned him and killed him, and then they burned him. And I think his whole family was with him too. I'm going to tell you right now, you say, well, that was cruel. Well, it might be when in some people's eyes. But you know what? I'll guarantee the next time they went and God said something, I'll bet they thought before they stowed on God, they did went against God what God said. You know, here's a great illustration. I loved my dad beyond measure, but I also feared my dad. My dad was my best friend. And even after I was married to my wife, a few years after, because my dad died shortly after we were married, just a few years after we... He died young, 48, 49 years old. But even Bobby, even when my dad was still alive and I had already been married, if my dad said something to me, I still honored my dad. I still honored my mother. And I asked, if what they said to me wasn't not, if it was, if he never did say anything, what he said to me was always reasonable. But I obeyed my parents. Andrew, you're a big boy. And you're a strong boy. And that boy next to you is a big and strong boy. Don't you ever get, both you boys, don't you ever get too big for your britches. You always honor and love your mom and dad. Because God will bless you for that. And just like we honor our mom and dad, we're to honor our God. And just like I feared my dad, I'm supposed to fear. Like, you know why I did it? You know why I obeyed my dad? Because I knew if I didn't obey my dad, Katie, my dad would have killed me. My dad didn't say, I'm going to tell you one more. This is the fifth time I'm telling you. And he didn't say time out or whatever those kids you guys got in those little romper rooms. There was no time out. My dad would knock my lights out. That would be time out. Time would be passing. I'd be out. That was the timeout back in my day. And they weren't calling some stupid city official and saying brutality. Hey, when my teachers called my dad, I begged my teachers, hit me three times more, but don't call my dad. Because not only would I get waxed from the school, but when they called my dad, Mike, see, my dad always stood up for the teacher. Amen. Hello? Amen, see, my dad believed in authority. How many are still with me? He was the old school. Boy, if I did wrong, he whopped me or whooped me or whatever how you want to call it. He put the hurt to me. How many of the old people know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. I had a fear, although I loved my dad, I had a godly fear for him, a reverence for my dad. Are you with me? We need to have we ought to have a godly fear for our Heavenly Father. Hebrews talks about we need to have, and says he chastens us. That means he spanks us. And by the way, if we don't get no spankings, that means we're not his child. Hello? So, It's good once in a while that some of the kids in the church get spankings from God, because what it does, it puts fear in the whole church. Like, I guarantee you, if Tippy gets a spanking, Lukey will go. See, if his daddy and his mom, if Lukey's getting a spanking, Tippy. Because what it does, it puts a fear. If the dad starts spanking one of the kids, it puts a fear in the other kids. Are you getting it, kids? How many kids are getting it? I mean, all the big kids. I know the little kids get it. It just takes a few things that God can do. And sometimes he does it just to help a church. He helped that church in the book of Acts. Because he took them out, and boy, great fear. I'm going to tell you, you won't find a great church that doesn't have great fear for God. If you got a church that don't have no fear for God, you got a church that ain't going to go nowhere for God. Amen? Then lastly, great churches will know great persecution, and along with that persecution, they'll know great joy. Today's average run-of-the-mill Baptist, they want to coexist with everybody, get along with everyone and everything, be political correct, and do not offend anyone. That's what the most Baptist churches. But we're living in a day today, you got to take a stand. You got to take a stand on what the Bible teaches in truth. I'm going to preach on abortion. I'm going to preach on the sodomites. I'm gonna preach on sin. I'm gonna take a stand. I'm gonna take a stand that this Bible is a pure word of God. I mean, I'm just telling you, you must take a stand. And the reason we got so much problem is people aren't taking a stand. But you know what? This church, as long as I'm pastor, and I know as long as the boy's here, it'll always take a stand. Because we're not gonna turn cold. Well, I'm gonna take it right to Jesus. Amen. I noted this. You'll find when people of God take a stand for God, the things of God, they will suffer persecution. Yeah, we're gonna suffer persecution. I guarantee you. You take a stand for the Lord, you're going to get persecuted. Now, we're not being martyred yet, but people talk bad about you, and people get mad at you, and people say things about you. You know, but when I was a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I know they harm, but they don't. You can go on. Amen? Acts 1:8 said, At that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and it scattered all over. But you know what happened? Every time there was persecution against the church, you know what happened? The church got stronger. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They're going to make fun of you. Oh, look at those little religious zealots. Boy, I'll tell you. Holy rollers, read their Bible, go to church. Like, they watch you. People watch you go to church every. Boy, they're watching they go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, oh, man, those people are crazy about church. Hello? You take those little things called gospel tracts and pass them out to work and stuff. They'll say, what's wrong with them people? I'll tell you what's wrong. Nothing wrong with you. The world hated Jesus before they hated you and I. Every persecution came, and the church grew every time and got stronger and spiritually every time. And also, not only did the persecution, after the persecution, you know what happened? Great joy. Look at Acts 8:8, 7 o'clock. Time for me to quit. 8:8, and Peter answered. I want to go to Acts 8:8. And there was great joy in that city. After all that persecution, you know what? God brought joy. It's not fun getting persecuted, but you know what? Joy follows it. Just like a storm, night cometh, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen? I wrote this down. Worldly joy depends on what happens. Your circumstances. People's joy determines on circumstances in their life. But the joy of the Lord can be embraced no matter what happens. Did you hear me? There's real gold and there's fool's gold. How many of you have heard that? There's real gold and there's fool's gold. Fool's gold's not of great value at all. It's got no value. And it's short-lived and it's not lasting. But real gold, of course, it's got value. And that's what the joy of God. The joy of the world is fool's gold. The joy of the Lord is found in obedience, and it's lasting. I want to close with this verse that Jesus said. Jesus said in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want to have great joy? No obedience and no fear and know how to serve God with all your heart and live by the grace of God. Amen? So great churches have Jesus as their founder. They have great power of the Holy Spirit within them. They have great witnessing. They have great grace. They have great fear. They have great persecution. And great churches have great joy. Amen? And I'll just... this is a little IGA Giant Eagle coupon. I'm just going to quote it to you. If you want to add another one, of course, you can keep adding them. I know there's a lot more rowdy at the time. Great churches have a great future. 1 Corinthians 2:9. And that's number 8. Great churches have a great future. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it's written, I'm glad it's written in the Bible. I believe every word in this Bible. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Captain Freimeyer, we've got a great future. This church, I don't know how much future we have on the out there in the land and infirmary. I'm hoping we have a good future before the Lord comes back, and I'm trusting God to do that. But Dean, if we don't, it doesn't matter, because the real future is out with the Lord in eternity. And God said our future is so great, we can't even imagine it. It's beyond our imagination. After we get done praying, we sang that song with Bob, and Brother Eddie was here, and God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to. He is good, isn't he? Let's bow our heads in prayer. He loves me so. He answers prayer. He's coming back. He really is. Let's do it to have a great church for God. Let's do all we call Christ. Let's make a church that God would look down from heaven and say, that's a church I really think is a great church. That's a church I love. That's a church I'm proud of. That's a church that when I get to see him, I'm going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to have those special things that great churches have. It's not a building. It's not the size of a congregation. It's all about God, God's power, God's presence, God's witnessing and his resurrection, and God's grace. Dear God, everything about the greatness of a great church is all about you. So, Father, help us to have at this church everything all about you. Dear God, may you be lifted up always. May people look to you for all things. And, Father, we thank you for dying and giving your life for the local church. Thank you for our local church that we have, that you're the head of our church. And Father, I just pray that we could have a church that you would say it's a great church for me. Dear God, please help us all to fear you and to serve you, and Father, to seek you in all things. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Tonight, if you'd like to come and pray, something's in your heart, you just come while we sing. Go ahead and lead us, brother. Things I said to God just now. I said, dear God, help me to do everything I can to make Bethel Baptist Church a great church. That ought to be our heart. God, help me to make Bethel the best church it can be for you. Amen? Because we're all one here collectively.
We all affect one another. Amen? Let's do all we can to make our church great for God. Amen?